Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
So what we did is we got together at the local Tarpon River Brewery. We had LonkerCon there. Mm-hmm. We did some podcasts there. You know, it's kind of a local center point. We got together with five or six people in town that were very concerned and decided we were going to do a protest. And we're going to do an on-the-water protest with boats. And off the water protest at a local park that is right on the New River in the epicenter where the sewage spills were. And the city of Fort Lauderdale and the boaters and the fishermen here took to it, and it was a very successful protest. We had over, say, 80 boats involved, probably 300 or 400 people on land, and people from all over the state, you know, knew about the protest. They came and they participated. And from that point, I think, you know, between the record and getting on national news, doing the protest, and then of course the social media, people are starting to wake up to the fact that we're killing our own ecosystem.
Hey, there's Captain Jeff Maggio. They call me the Lunker Dog, and you guys are on the Tom Rowan Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show today. We are going to have a fantastic show with none other than the Lunker Dog, Jeff Maggio. He's been on the show before. You guys know Jeff Maggio. He's the Lunker Dog. He is YouTube, one of the earliest YouTube fishermen, and just an overall cool dude. He's been doing a lot of work this year with a sewage spill in Fort Lauderdale that I want to talk to him about, as well as the coronavirus. So I'm going to give him a call right now and see what's going on. Hopefully Jeff's doing well.
Hey there, it's Captain Jeff.
What's going on, Jeff? How you doing?
Good, sitting in my back office, my new studio.
Yeah? You got a new studio for the podcast?
Yeah, I totally redid my office. I had Chet Walters in this old office before, which is more like a tackle studio slash office slash garage. It was a lot of things. Now, I got my 12 setups to go fishing every day and the rest of the podcast studio.
Wow, right on. So how's the podcast going for you?
I love the podcast.
Yeah. It seems like a really good platform for you. It really does.
It's just fun, and you know, I can speak my mind. I love the way that people are, you know, are engaged in it. You know, it's not just something quick. So I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of things to speak your mind about recently. One of the things I wanted to catch up with you on, it was when we first made contact for this, it was kind of pre-coronavirus.
Right.
But the sewage spill, you know, I've been following your posts. I'm interested to kind of get the whole story, really. I don't know much about what you've been dealing with there other than what I've seen on your social media. But bring me up to speed on what was going on there.
Yeah, well, most of the country, you know, found out about the sewage spills here in Fort Lauderdale kind of late in the cycle, because I think it was the million gallons of sewage was spilled into the intercoastal waterway here, which was a record, national record. So Fort Lauderdale holds the record for sewage spills, amongst other things. And that's what most people heard about it. Fort Lauderdale's been running on an infrastructure system that was built in the 60s and 70s. And at that time, you know, there's probably about 50,000 people that lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're well over a million people and basically running on the same old infrastructure system that we had when the city first started. And what's been happening is just failing, you know, massively in a short amount of time. Sewage spills are nothing new here. It's just that now they're so massive and so dramatic that people actually are paying attention to it.
So what brought your attention to it? Is this a visible thing, or what was the first indication that you needed to kind of get involved?
Well, I was trying to get a strategy on how to get involved here in Fort Lauderdale. I talked to Benny Blanco about it and some captains for Clean Waters, because we've had a decline in water quality here in Fort Lauderdale for a long time. But it's been a slow process where every year the water quality gets worse and there's less wildlife and less just life in general all through the canal systems here in Fort Lauderdale. Part of the problem that we originally were having was water flow, very similar to how Everglades National Park works. Fort Lauderdale kind of works the same exact way, except the water comes out of the rivers, which mm-hmm. they dammed up years ago. And because of that, we have a water flow problem. And we've had sewage breaks, you know, consistently. And when we're out there fishing and stuff, as we notice them, you know, even if they may be small, say 10,000 or 20,000 gallons, if you can believe that's a small sewage spill, but it is. So as we're out there fishing, we knew, you know, this was happening, and we could see the wildlife, you know, deteriorating. In the last 3 years, the rate of speed has been so dramatic that I had to start talking to people about it. As we were bringing the attention to it, these massive sewage spills happened. And, of course, then we saw millions of dead fish, you know, floating up, total canal systems, you know, totally devastated by the sewage. And when I first started posting the information on social media, people just weren't aware of it, even though they lived all through here.
Right.
If you're not on the water and actually pay attention to what's going on, you can drive right by the waterways here and not even know that there's a massive fish kill. And that's what was going on here in Fort Lauderdale. As we brought more attention to it, the people here in Fort Lauderdale woke up. And since then, it's been going to city meetings. We did a huge protest here. One of the things that we were totally floored was how nonchalant the city of Fort Lauderdale took the massive sewage spill that we had here.
Really?
And yeah, they thought it was like, you know, just another day. And the people here that, you know, the boaters and the people that actually lived on the water, you know, knew how dramatic it was. So what we did is we got together at the local Tarpon River Brewery. We had LonkerCon there. Mm-hmm. We did some podcasts there. You know, it's kind of a local center point. We got together with five or six people in town that were very concerned, and decided we were going to do a protest. And we're going to do an on-the-water protest with boats and off-the-water protest at a local park that is right on the New River in the epicenter where the sewage spills were. And the city of Fort Lauderdale and the boaters and the fishermen here took to it, and it was a very successful protest. We had over, say, 80 boats involved, probably 300 or 400 people on land, and people from all over the state, you know, knew about the protest. They came and they participated. And from that point, I think, you know, between the record and getting on national news, doing the protest, and then, of course, the social media, people are starting to wake up to the fact that we're killing our own ecosystem with old infrastructure.
Right. So when you say it was a successful protest, what, in your mind, what does that mean? Like, you got the attention of the people that you needed to get the attention of, or you had a big turnout, or what does it look like to be a successful protest?
There was a number of things. One was a turnout, you know. It was great to have the turnout, the type of people that turned out, the media that spun off of the turnout. So that was very successful. But in the protest, we wanted to deliver a message to the system, to the city, that we demand water quality be a priority. We wanted to make sure they had a plan. And then we wanted to make sure that people knew that the people from Fort Lauderdale already paid for the sewage system to be updated.
There it is.
There it is, exactly. $250 million the city, in real guy terms, I say they stole it. Yeah. They call it reverting it, where they're able to take the funds that people pay to take care of wastewater infrastructure, and they also have what they call impact fees. Now, I took you around Fort Lauderdale, and you saw the massive construction that goes along here. All of those companies pay thousands and thousands of dollars in what they call impact fees. And the city takes this money, and then they decide to give themselves raises with it, do all sorts of things with it, except for the sewage and infrastructure problems that we have. So basically, they're stealing the dough and doing whatever they want with it.
Well, I tell you what, man, when that when you start talking in those terms, that changes everything. I mean,
really
like
does.
As an outsider, you know, looking in, like, okay, well, you got an infrastructure that's old and dilapidated and yeah, it needs to be updated and the city grew too fast and now you've got a problem on your hands. Okay, what do you do about it? But then when you start talking about that there has been money there all the time to do it, boy, does that change things. And I bet that just infuriates people that are paying those fees.
Well, it infuriates people. And what's more frustrating and infuriating is everybody knows that it was paid for. There wasn't a debate. You know, it was money that was shows right on your bill. It says sewage and water.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, when they do that to people, the fury is nobody's ever held accountable. They're allowed to do that. It's legal. No one goes to jail. But if the private sector say you did that or I did that, you know what I mean? We'd be in federal prison.
Right. Of course you would.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, two sets of rules. There's one for the government and then there's one for the people. And we've made that very obvious here in the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
And
after these protests, have you been to any kind of meetings since then?
I've been to the majority of the city meetings. Okay. And I've had some very interesting things happen, not with the city, but with the state. I actually wrote a letter to Governor DeSantis, who, of course, I voted for because he ran on water. And I wrote a letter to him. And I sent it in the mail, and then I posted it on social media. And either somebody in his office watches the videos or is part of the social media, but within 5 hours, I got a call from DeSantis's office. And his chief of staff, Shane, reached out to me and talked to me for almost an hour on a Sunday afternoon. And I was floored that I got that kind of support from the state immediately. I mean, they were on it. The chief of staff has been on the phone back and forth probably half a dozen times since then. And I'm working with his deputy chief of staff, who's part of the DEP, and trying to do anything that I can do to make sure that this city does what it has to do. And it's just crazy, the whole dynamic to it. And through the process, I've met and I've learned so much. And what I've come to find out is it's not a Fort Lauderdale problem.
Really?
It's a state problem. And these municipalities have been doing it all across the state. And the same thing happens on a daily basis. Fort Myers, 2 days ago, 183,000 right in the drink.
Wow.
Yeah, they just set a record for themselves. So they can congratulate itself. But this is happening all over. Dude, there's a little processing plant in Everglades City that is dilapidated and leaking.
Wow.
In Everglades National Park, there's one.
Well, that one would seem to be like obviously quite a concern, but Everglades City certainly doesn't have the density of people and the people paying taxes and the people paying sewer as Fort Lauderdale does. So is that the same kind of situation to where it's been paid for, but nothing was ever done? Or is that just an old thing that needs to be updated?
It's just an old processing plant that doesn't work correctly, that overflows, that spills, it's in horrible condition, and nothing's being done about it.
Yeah.
It's not new.
Yeah.
To it's me, been leaking, I mean, forever.
You know, to me, that's like,
that's, you know,
that's a bad, yeah, that's saying. A bad deal, but that is not as like, obviously that's a bad deal because of its location and the sensitivity of the area around it. But man, when you start talking about this other thing, that's like, corruption.
Well, the stuff we're doing here, I mean, this is nothing new. Fort Lauderdale, I think, is the third biggest government budget in the state. And it's been about as corrupt as you can get for as long as you can remember.
Wow.
But they didn't kill the fish before.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, you know, okay, there was a tug of war. There was some people were winners in the process. But when you let that kind of sewage spill into the water, everybody loses. And that water doesn't stay in Fort Lauderdale. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, like they say, everybody lives downstream, you know.
But the reason I bring up the one in Everglades City is because it just shows you that it's not a Fort Lauderdale problem. Mm. Fort Lauderdale has a major problem, but Fort Lauderdale is a major city. Everglades Park is a freaking speck on the map, and it has a problem.
Yeah.
And there's municipalities anywhere from the tiniest in the best of places to the biggest in the worst of places. Tampa, pathetic. And I'm learning this stuff. 23,000 sewage spills in the state of Florida in the last 10 years that were reported to the DEP.
23,000?
23,000 in the last decade in the state of Florida reported to the DEP. How many thousands didn't get reported to the DEP?
The big ones.
I'm saying, yeah.
They're probably going to report the little ones. So it looks like, you know, at the end of the year, they're like, come on, man. You didn't have anything? Oh, yeah. We had 20 gallons that went in accidentally, you know. but I don't know anything about 250,000 gallons. No, I don't know. That's somebody else.
Yeah. See, it's just like, and you know, I just learned this stuff. The only thing that I really knew before all this is that the wildlife in New River, where I made a living and I grew my business, TV shows with Bill Dance and some of the best moments of my life were in that river. And in today's day and age, I can't take somebody's money and take them fishing in there.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Just because there's no fish.
There's no fish. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. Not only is there no fish, the oysters and the barnacles and stuff that used to grow in that river. If your line touched anything in that river 10 years ago, instant break off.
Hmm.
And the reason it was an instant break off because the barnacles and the oysters grew in so fast. Like we built boats up in the back of that river in the old days. And if you had five boats in the water, somebody was in the water scraping the bottom of the boats almost the whole time. One, because bottom pain wasn't as good back then. And Two, because the water was so healthy, stuff just grew on it. The only thing that gets on the seawalls now in the river and in the intercoastal here is this black slime, which is an algae. And everybody knows about the algae problems the state of Florida is having. Mm-hmm. And this algae, because of the dead water, has basically taken over the whole New River system. Now, I'm not saying there's not any fish left in there, but I will go on record and say that 95% of all wildlife is gone from that New River, from plants to birds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, so when you talk to the governor's office about this, is this like, are they aware of this, or is this all new to them, or like they're being supportive, but are they even aware that this is happening?
Well, I think they're aware of it. I think that the cities like Fort Lauderdale, I mean, think about it. We're pretty far away from Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
The administration that's in Tallahassee right now is Republican. This county is about as liberal as you get. You can go up to Connecticut and stuff and get a little bit more liberal than here in Vermont. But we're pretty liberal here. And from what I gather is there's a huge communication problem between Fort Lauderdale and Tallahassee. Hmm. And I think the people in Tallahassee could use all the help they can get as far as understanding what really goes on here. And hopefully in this process, you know, we've been able to do that. That brings me back to how successful this protest and social media push has been. Granted, the fish are still dying. Granted, the water's still contaminated. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to another point. You know, I'm not alone in this. I have some really cool people that I've met in the process. There's a group called the 954 Paddle Crew, and they're into paddle boarding. The Surf Rider Foundation reached out. Now, the Surf Rider Foundation's huge, you know?
Yeah.
And what they decided to do is they decided to come into Fort Lauderdale and do their own water testing to find out how much bacteria is actually in the water and what the levels are and so on and so forth. And what we've learned is the city of Fort Lauderdale will do the test on the water. The Surf Rider will do the test on the water on the very same day with the very same people. And they'll get two different results. Dramatically different, which brings a whole nother light to the issue. Either our government's incompetent or they're lying, one of the two. But the Surf Rider Foundation does the same exact test. They even went so far to go with the same guy that tests for the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, they're obviously taking lots of samples. Are they observing that these people are doing something wrong or not doing it correctly, or like what accounts for the discrepancy?
At first, the discrepancy was debatable. You know, the city would say, oh, well, you're taking them in a little bit different place at a different time, at a different tide. And we all agreed, okay, that's an argument. So what the Surf Rider Foundation did to take it a step further is they coordinated with the city to make sure they went out and tested the same places at the same time. And when the test came back, they still came back dramatically different.
Hmm.
And I got to tell you, I showed up, I watched, I seen the guy from the city that does the test, and I seen the guy from the Surf Rider Foundation that does the test. And let me just tell you, the guy from the Surf Rider Foundation appears much more impressive than the guy from the city that showed up.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to look different, but like when they're taking the samples,
mm-hmm.
does it appear that they're doing two different things, or they are both kind of doing the same thing, or?
Well, the Surf Rider showed up and their equipment looked like it could actually do the job.
Mm.
The people that showed up could actually walk down into the water and take the samples where they wanted to. And the guy from the city, I don't know, he had a stick with a plastic bag on it that he would stick in the water and get as much water as he could and then put that in his little container. And I'm just saying that there was two different people there, one from the city, one from Surf Rider Foundation. One looked like pretty super looking team. And the other one looked like the guy that comes and, you know, cleans your pool or something.
Right.
You know, it's just like, it just didn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching this happen. And when I say that the water samples are coming back different in their discrepancy, I don't mean like one has 100 parts per million and the other one has 130 parts per million. One will have 100 parts per million, the other one will have like 900 parts per million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, well, I wonder if that's, I mean, the city, those are so far apart that it would seem like the person that would really need to be good at his job would be the person who can consistently come back with samples that are much lower than what they should be, right?
Yeah. And you would think that if the levels were different or there was a discrepancy, that the city would do more tests. Well, the city's doing less tests, and the Surfrider Foundation decided to do more tests.
Right.
The city of Fort Lauderdale will show online that areas are fine for swimming, fishing, kayaking, you know, no bacterial level problems. In the meantime, the Surfrider Foundation will go to those same exact areas, take the test, and it's not even close. And it's just like some really, you know, nutty stuff is happening. And this is what goes on. This is what goes on. I think now in new modern age, social media and stuff, I don't think governments can get away with this crap anymore. And they're getting called out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many groups like, I mean, I know a little bit about the Surfrider Foundation. I know that's a solid group. There's so many groups like that that are keeping people in check. And then you have the internet and you have the availability of this information to everyone and anyone who wants to get it on your phone that you keep in your pocket. Like that makes everything transparent.
That's right.
But I don't see how they can deny that it's going on. Are they denying it, or are they just saying, hey, look, this is our samples? And
I don't know. There's nobody, like I said, there's nobody to hold them accountable.
Huh.
There's nobody to hold them accountable. They can say whatever they want.
I would think that the people that can hold them accountable are the people that have been paying those fees all along.
Well, that's about it. You know, this is a election year. Thank God it's an election year, because if people really care, you know, they can actually do something by trying to vote these guys out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the power. And something's got to change, because it's not, like I said, it's not just Fort Lauderdale. Any of these municipalities can do this stuff. And when they do this, because nobody's held accountable, basically what they do is they have a whole bunch of city meetings on it, and they kind of want and wait for the issue to go away. The city of Fort Lauderdale and the people in the state, of course, are not letting the issue go away, thanks to, you know, groups like Captains for Clean Waters and the CCA and, you know, all the other, shoot, man, there's so many. I met Nyla Pipes, who I thought was a great asset. I met Terry Gibson from the National Water Society or something like that. And people care, and there's a movement right now. And the movement is growing. Thank God it's growing, because I don't think that the ecosystem can restore itself.
Right.
It's going to need help.
So in the future, like just blue sky it for a little bit. Like, let's just say you have a super successful protest. You get the attention from the right people. What changes can happen to really make a big difference in the water quality?
Well, I think Fort Lauderdale is the perfect place for this catastrophe to actually end up being something good. Because I think we can be the leaders, the innovators, in taking an ecosystem that's been devastated through overdevelopment, water flow, pollution, and we can restore it. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that, unfortunately, the government hasn't come up with, but the locals have come up with, there's machines called protein skimmers.
Mm.
That you could actually put in the back of somebody.
I lost you there for a second. You put them in the back of canals. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, they're called protein skimmers.
And all right, you just broke up there for a second.
Yeah, and basically what they are is it's a system. You can put them in the back of canals, and it takes old stagnant water, clean the algae out of it, clean any of the bacteria out of it, and then replace it. Kind of like the way you would maintain a huge swimming pool.
Right.
Is the way Fort Lauderdale has to look at their waterways. There's also a big problem here, because the drains, every time it rains, the drains and the drain pipes open up and go right into the intercoastal, right into the river. We use it as like a liquid dump. Mm. Now, eventually that has to stop. But what they do in Australia, in one of the proposals that we've had here in Fort Lauderdale, is put these bag filters on in the back of these pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So before I can just let anything that's on the street go down the pipe and into the canal system, it has to go through this bag filter. We could put bag filters on, you know, the drainage pipes. Of course, update the infrastructure, all of it. Just by doing that alone, it'd be steps forward. We could be the innovators. We have to quit doing development the way we're doing it now. You've been to Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
We'll take a canal. We'll take a canal. We'll seawall it on both sides, and then we'll dredge it and make it 10 feet deep. Well, if it's 10 feet deep, nothing is going to grow on the bottom of that. No grass, no crustaceans, none whatsoever. By putting seawalls on every single canal system in this whole county, now we have no mangroves. Mm. Everybody knows what mangroves do to the water system.
Right.
We have none of that anymore. We take it, we make it a desert, and we leave it that way. Years ago, Mother Nature could overcome the process.
Yeah. I think I might have lost you, Jeff. Okay. Well, we lost Jeff. We're going to get him back right now. This is a situation in Fort Lauderdale that is really interesting. It's, I don't know. I'm going to get him right back.
I lost you.
I lost you there. That's okay. I had you right up until the end when you were talking about the mangroves.
Okay. All right. So just roll with that.
Yep.
So, you know, so putting the mangroves, you know, back on the canal system would be a huge step forward. We have miles, and I mean hundreds of miles, of just blank seawall in Broward County that we could encourage growth. We could encourage plant life. We can just don't do that now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we could make these simple changes, and I think we could make a dramatic increase in our water quality here.
Yeah. It's interesting, like the sewage spills. Like, I would think that one, I'm no expert on this one, but I would think that that is a massive contamination. And if you can stop it from happening in the future, I feel like nature can rebound from something like that, where there's, as opposed to some kind of
I think,
you know, like a consistent thing that keeps happening,
yeah.
Like the Okeechobee deal and all of the stuff that Captains is working on with the Caloosahatchee River. And like, I don't know, that seems to be happening over and over again.
It can happen. And when it does happen here in Fort Lauderdale, you know, that's going to be a major piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we can do everything but not do that. And there's no pieces to the puzzle.
How difficult do you see it being? Like, let's just say that they were like, yep, everybody's right. You're right. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. We're going to put, you know, $100 million towards this. How does it even happen? Are they going to have to dig up the pipes? Are they going to have to change the treatment plant? What is the solution?
Well, the solution for the infrastructure here is simply replacing the pipes. We have pipes that haven't been replaced, like I said, since the 70s, and they go all around town, all around Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big job. They estimate, you know, somewhere around $1 billion. Cool thing about Fort Lauderdale is we have great credit rating. We have a lot of cash and we can come up with $1 billion. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's being done. They're finally putting that as a priority, but let's say they, you know, all hands on deck and they're starting it right now. It's going to be a 5-year process. And during that 5-year process, we're going to experience these sewage spills. But it's non-debatable, and we can do that, and there's a plan to do that. So as that's happening, I'm hoping that the city of Fort Lauderdale will change its philosophy on the intercoastal and going right back to what I'm talking about. I think putting plant life back in the intercoastal here and not contaminating it with, you know, sewage water.
Right.
Those two steps would be huge, because I can take you right now, Tom, to places here in Fort Lauderdale that have just a few mangroves, just a one little area, and it's not dredged to be 10 feet deep. And those are the areas that we go and we get our bait and we start our day at.
Mm.
And in 100 yards away from that same exact area, there's nothing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I can show you that today. So what do? Is we take these areas and make more of it, more of that 100 feet that has life in it.
Right.
And I think that the people that live here, that live on the water, same way they, you know, take care of their shrubs in their front yard and they want that to look good, I think they should be taking care of their mangroves in their backyard.
That's just because an education thing, right? I mean,
yeah, that needs to, you know, it's about awareness. It's about, hey, how can I help? And I think if you deliver that message, which we've started to do, people are going to really help. Did you hear about how the CCA stepped up with Mike Lambrex?
No, not in your area necessarily. I saw you post something about the CCA. What did they do?
Well, Mike Lambrex, president of the CCA for Broward County here, is a personal friend. And he was right next to me, you know, a lot of the time, you know, when this sewage spill was happening. And they were planning on doing an oyster restoration experiment here in Broward County anyway to find out if the oysters would where and if the oysters would grow. So what they've done is they have these little basically they're oyster larvae catchers that promote oyster growth. And if the water is good, these oysters will start to cluster. And he told the people here in Broward County, the people that live on the water, that he needed volunteers, you know, for these oyster catchers to go.
Right.
Because he needed places, you know, all different places in all different parts of the city. And it was overwhelming. I mean, hundreds of people who lived on the water here wanted one of these things on hanging off their dock.
Right.
And today, he's out there hanging them off the dock.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, it's something, right? Maybe right. It's not the answer.
Well,
maybe it's not the answer.
You know, it
but
might not be the answer.
Data that we're going to get from the effort is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, but what I see in that is like that's like it's beyond the data. It's beyond the whether it's the right device or it actually does anything. What it does is it's an outward expression of someone caring about the problem and doing whatever is available to them to try to do their part and help. Well, their neighbor sees that and is like, what is that thing hanging off your dock? Oh, you don't know about this? This is a, you know, this device, it does this. And well, why would you even need that? Well, don't you know about the water situation? Like
exactly.
And
awesome.
And so then it becomes like this, even if it doesn't work, I think that's a huge step forward because
it's a part of,
you know, like I'm sure that you're about to say, it's just an education thing. It's a part of being part of the solution rather than being part of just, you know, constant protesting and stuff
right.
like that. And I think things like that are huge, huge. And in fact, if it works, even better.
Right. And to me, and my message to everybody, it's philosophical. It's about changing people's philosophically how they think about the water. Right. I'm the best at vocabulary. You know? Right from the big well to the thesaurus. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like the whole change of philosophy, the way we look, the way we think, what we think about our dock, what we think about the dead stuff that's behind the dock, what we think about the live stuff.
You know, you've seen that a lot. In other areas of Florida, like particularly like the Caloosahatchee system and all of that and other areas where it has become kind of really apparent that we're all part of the problem as we are all part of the solution. Like you can point fingers and blame Okeechobee and sugar and pesticides and everything, but it's like, okay, what are you putting on your lawn? And then people are like, oh, like that, that could be a problem. It's like, well, maybe not just on your lawn, but if a million people do that and it rains and that all goes in the water, yeah, that's equally as big a problem. So if you want to do something to help, like find a different, you know, put manure on your lawn instead of some kind of, you know, crazy, you know,
right,
fertilizer
or whatever, or have
a sand lawn. Or, I mean, you live in Florida. Do you really want to be cutting grass anyway? Like, you know, there could be a different type of grass that you could plant that doesn't take as much fertilizer or whatever, you know, landscape differently so that you have hardier plants that don't need fertilizer. And all of a sudden you're a part of the solution because you realize, oh, each of us has a role to play. Like, everything that I put on my grass goes into the river. Everything that I wash my car with goes into the river. Everything that I'm using in my house is ending up in the river. So if I don't want dead fish and I want everything to be nice, I need to do my part as my neighbor needs to do their part. And, you know, and I think that you're starting to see that a little bit where people are just becoming a little more aware. And of course, you know, you're becoming way more aware when they're dead manatees washing up on the beach. And then when that goes away, you know, I'm sure people go right back to putting the fertilizer on their lawn. But it is an awareness thing. And it does change people's idea of what their responsibility to the environment is, I think.
Well, yeah. And I hope for a couple things. I hope the rest of the state those mistakes.
Oh, there you are. I thought I lost you again. You hope the rest of the state what?
I just hope that the rest of the state, especially the smaller towns, look at what's happened to Fort Lauderdale and Miami and learn from the mistakes that we've made here and don't make them in your small towns that are growing so fast.
Mm.
I'm not an anti-development person, but development has to evolve. And it's been the same way for too long, especially in the state of Florida. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, people, you know, will learn that and from the mistakes that Fort Lauderdale, Miami has made. The other thing that I hope everybody understands, people put way too much faith in the government and government agencies.
Mm.
The only people that are going to make a difference are people like you and me, Tom. We want to have faith that the DEP and the EPA and the FWC and all these people are looking out for you and your environment, but they're not.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's the fact of the matter. And people need to understand that they're the ones that are going to make the difference. The government is not.
Right. But there's also, you know, I mean, I agree with that. But I also think that there's something else. Like, why are people like you going to make the difference? It's because you're the canary in the coal mine, as well as being someone who really cares about the environment. You're going to be the first one that notices a problem. You're going to be the first one. I mean, of course, people are aware of the spills or whatever. Oh, we're having a little spill. Okay. Are there any problems? Is anybody complaining? No. Okay. It must not have been that big a deal. Okay. But you're out there on the water. You notice all the dead fish. You notice whatever way before someone else. And that's what I think is interesting about like this situation or the Captains for Clean Water, Caloosahatchee situation, is it's really the outdoorsmen that are leading the charge because they, you know, maybe you could say that they care about it more, but do they? I mean, I don't know. Do we really care about it more than the restaurant owner that wants to keep his thriving business open? He cares about it too, but he's going to see the effects months after you are.
Right. We're just educated first.
Right.
We can see things that they can't first.
Right. And it's like, huh, I haven't seen any birds here. Like, why are there no wading birds here? Nobody else is noticing that except maybe a bird watcher or something. And then it maybe, you know, like we've caught bait here always and there's no bait here. Nobody notices that. Like who sees bait? nobody.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that it's interesting. I don't know that it's just that the state agencies don't care or the government doesn't care. I mean, in some cases that's absolutely 100% the case, and there's some shady things going on. There's no question about that. But then, you know, there is also, you know, the point that you're just out there, man. You just see it first. You understand what the harbinger of bad things to come is. Like, there's no bait. That's a problem.
Well, I'll go back to the government about them caring or not caring, because this is the way I look at it. Okay, there's FWC officers that are out in their boats, I don't know, 150, 200 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
They see it. They should be there strong as an ox with data supporting what they see. But they're not. That has to change too. If the government's ever going to actually reach out and make a difference, or is it just going to be the people? The FWC... Now, I can't speak for the whole state because I don't fish in the whole state, but the FWC in Broward County and the FWC in Dade County will sit there in a diesel spill, and this happened to me numerous times, and check your safety equipment.
Mm.
Never call the DEP about the diesel spill or the crazy pollution that's coming out of a pipe somewhere. They'll sit right next to that trash and check your safety equipment that you're not even violating, but that's where they're spending their time and energy. And you're like, you're sitting there, you're just like, are you kidding me? And that's what I mean. Things got to change in the government. If you saw what happens after you call the DEP from oil or a diesel spill, it's pathetic. It'll take them sometimes 2 and 3 days just to get to the problem. Mm. And then basically not do anything about it. And these are things that I've witnessed, Tom. You know what I mean? The government is not held accountable. And in anything that you're not held accountable for, the quality of service is going to stink.
Yeah, you're right about that, for sure.
And that's my thing with the government. I hate to be such a pessimist and point fingers, but what's happening needs to be told. And that's what's happening with what I've seen so far from the government. And the FWC thing, it's been bothering me for years. How in the world can I not be best buddies with the guys that are on the water here for the FWC? Why is that an opponent of mine?
Hmm. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it would be.
No, we should be tied at the hip. You know what I mean? They're the FWC. We use the environment to satisfy our customers, to pay our bills. Who in the world should be more allies than the guides, the inshore guides, more than anybody in the FWC. If I see a diesel spill right now, today, and I want to call somebody from the FWC, I dial a 1-800 number that takes me to Tallahassee. I don't even know the chief's name over here.
Mm.
And he don't know me. And that's a problem. Because he doesn't know Bouncer. And he doesn't know Benny, and he doesn't know all the guys that are out there every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's a problem. These are the things that, you know, people have to come together, but the government's never going to come together unless we demand it.
Right.
I'm talking about the FWC like that now because I want to change the relationship I have with them.
You know how do you intend to do that? I mean, that's a really good thing because, like, I love, I don't know. I mean, I listen to kind of all kinds of arguments and stuff like that. And then I kind of turn arguments off when people just bitch and moan and then have right. No solution. But what's interesting about your situation and what you're saying right now, and what you said throughout this whole conversation is let's lead it up to a solution.
Exactly.
Like, so what is the, how would you change the relationship between you and the FWC, or how would you suggest that other people in other areas change the relationship with the FWC?
Well, I think one, we have to ask. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is on my agenda is I'm going to reach out to the commissioner of the FWC with a proposal. I want the FWC to start coming to my events, to start participating in any types of social media that we're having. I want to reach out and make sure that they're part of what we're part of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do I know you? I know you because you're a fishing enthusiast and you love it and it's your passion and you do it for a business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should know the chief of the FWC because he's the chief of the FWC and right. His passion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we should have a relationship because of it. Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
It's a change of philosophy.
Well, how do you know the head of the CCA?
Exactly.
Same thing. Like,
right.
Why is he the head of the CCA? Because that's close to his heart, and he happens to have certain skills, or he's good at certain things, and it lends itself to him being able to do a good job at that, right? So, I don't know, in government, though, if that's necessarily the case. I mean, I've never had a government job or anything, but if you, I think maybe you could get transferred or moved around to a place that they need leadership. And you've never been on the water? I mean, I have no idea if the head of the FWC has been on the water. I'm sure he has, I guess, but I don't know. But what I'm saying is, like, you can end up in a place that you're there for a different reason than someone that leads a conservation group ends up in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And I tell you, the other big thing that's changing, Tom, is regular everyday Joes are jumping on this environmental thing. It's not the friggin' nutters anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the crazy, you know, people that are, you know, doing these crazy protests and worrying about a specific animal and all that. Not for them, not if we're against them. But it's not just the guys like you and me now.
Yeah. Well,
and that's a big change.
That is a huge change.
That something good's going to happen.
That is a huge change. And what I saw was some of the biggest success for Captains for Clean Water and how they rallied such incredible support was, one, there was obviously a big problem that needed to be solved. Two, they provided solutions right away. Three, they tied it back to financial things that everyone in the community could understand immediately. My restaurant's going to close. I'm not going to be able to sell any houses if the water is bad. People aren't going to come to the beach anymore. Like,
right.
All of a sudden that gets tied back to financial, economic things that everyone, regardless of what your profession is, everyone in your area is tied to the water in some way, shape, or form. I mean,
right.
They may never go on a boat, and it may be as simple as they may never go on a boat, but their favorite restaurant is on the water. Well, if the water stinks and the fish are dead, people don't go to that restaurant. That restaurant goes out of business. That person can't go there anymore either. So all of a sudden, that person who has no tie other than like to sit on the water or on the beach, you know, is now concerned about this situation. Or the red tide, when that was going on, you know, the person who will never be on a boat, not once. They'll never go fishing. They will never put a pair of binoculars up to their eyes, but they like to walk their dog on the beach. The red tide comes, there's dead fish, their dogs are rolling in it. They, you know, you have an asthmatic response when you walk outside, it burns your lungs. Now all of a sudden that person, if with the proper education, that person can become the greatest cheerleader, the biggest supporter of you know, a cause for clean water. Because
absolutely.
Because they someone took the time to educate them and saying, you know why your dog smells really bad? Because he's rolling in those dead fish over there. Do you know why they're there? No, why? And they take the time to explain it. And all of a sudden that person who thought that fishermen were bad people before is now the greatest supporter.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. And I'm just hoping, I don't know, the position that I'm in between social media and the actual fishing industry and the way the whole thing works, I've always been a communicator. Whether people like what I'm saying or they don't, they hear it. You know what I mean? They hear it. I'm hoping the same thing happens here. You know what I mean? That's all I can do. I get up the bat, I swing the best I can, hoping to hit a home run. But if I hit a whole bunch of singles to win a game, so be it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you're doing good things. You pointed out a problem. You've tried to remain positive for the, you know, as much as you possibly can without, you know, avoiding attention. I mean, like, you can stay positive and everybody, you know, to the point to where nobody listens to you. And then at some point you have to have some sort of a protest where you got to get some attention, you know, like.
Well, and then there's certain problems out there, you know, that demand the attention. And hopefully people are learning about the ones we're having here with the water every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, dude. There's always an upside. And considering how bad the water is here.
What do you think the upside is? That you can become a leader to other communities and other communities can avoid the mistakes that have been made?
Yeah.
Is that the best upside or is there a better one?
Well, my two biggest issues in the state is overdevelopment and waterfall, right? So if we can change the way we develop and change the way we think about developing, I'm all for spending $100 million to put a beautiful friggin' multi-unit place right on the intercoastal. As long as you make the intercoastal as beautiful as you made that multi-unit condo or whatever you just put up, mm-hmm. hotel or whatever, mm-hmm. you put the same energy and effort into making the water next to it as impressive as the establishment that you're building. That's what I asked for. That's what's got to change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like in this whole conversation, what makes it difficult is I'm sure that there are plenty of developers out there that say, absolutely, man, charge me any sewage fee you want. I'll be happy to pay it. I want to be a big part of this community. I want to do the right thing. I want to build this thing right. And they pay their fees and right. they're not being spent correctly.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a false argument that we're having here in Fort Lauderdale is a lot of people are against the big developers. And I think if the big developers were educated on how they can help, I think they would do more than the requirements. You know what I mean? And it's about philosophy and it's about education and communication.
Mm-hmm.
In this town, I have literally personally reached out to some of the biggest developers in this town because they're fishermen and they know me, and we're starting conversations on how, as the developments happen, how they can participate in making the water quality better.
So what does a guy like that need to see? Like a big developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is an opportunity. I see it. Like, you know, looking at it from a business perspective. Okay. Lots of people are going to build big resorts, or lots of people are going to build big condos or big buildings or whatever. What would separate yours from someone else's? And one of the things is to be environmentally friendly, to build a LEED certified building. You could do all of these different things. But what does a guy like that need to see? He's like, I'm in. I want to help. I want to do this. But do they need to see science? Do they need to see other examples of people doing good things?
it would be exactly the way they do things now. Somebody would come up with a plan. Okay, you're building here. The water does this. It's so many feet deep. You can put boats over here. You can put trees over there. You can have it shallow right here so moistures and stuff like that will grow. And then if they know how to build and what to do, they will do it. The problem is right now is there needs to be leadership to show them that.
Right.
There needs to be a change in philosophy to explain this to them, and then it will follow suit.
Well, probably in science too. Like,
well, yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. Well, I was planning on spending $100 million here. Now you're asking me to spend $120 million. I mean, I'm in if that's going to mean that I make $240 million instead of $200 million. Like, I'm in. Well, I'm listening, but I don't want to spend that kind of money if I don't know that this is going to work, right? So that's where I think that there has to be some groups like bringing the Surfrider Foundation in. That's great. Or some other group that can show, look, if you were to build this way, you would improve not only your property, but the properties within a mile of your place.
Exactly.
And then they're like, okay, you know, I see that. I can see how that would work. And I can, and then you let their marketing team take off with it. And it's like, look, we're the greenest hotel in the world. We, you know, we
Bingo.
Have
you
been
hit
a part
right on
of,
the head.
We've been a part of all this other stuff. And then when people see it that way, you know, I've always said, like, I don't really care if someone's heart is in it, but dude, just, you know, do the as long as you're doing the right thing. I don't care what your motivation is. If you think you're going to make $50 million because you're the greenest hotel in the world, man, I don't care. Hopefully we can fish out of off your dock. Like, it'll
exactly.
be great.
Exactly.
You know.
And people are getting it, Tom. It's you know, nothing's going to happen overnight. But when regular guys like you and I start, you know, talking about real solutions and how people can help, that's where the nucleus is really going to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. The government's not going to do it for us.
Yeah. You know, until you bring attention to it and make them, because that's how they get that job. They got to get elected. So,
well, I'm spreading the word through Fort Lauderdale. Same way DeSantis got in there. He ran on water.
Right.
I want to know who's running on water in this town this next election. That's my next push.
Right. Well,
who's running
like
on
it.
Water?
I think that's a good thing because, you know, like,
dude, I just made a new slogan.
Who's running on water? There you go.
Who's running on water?
The Lunker Dog. Maybe you ought to run. I don't know.
Dude, I thought about it and then I was like, well, then there'd be nobody to bitch and moan. But anyway,
hey, everybody's got a job to do.
That's right. Who's running on water? That's my new slogan. I love it.
There you go. I want the first t-shirt. Well, that's cool, man. I think you're doing good things. I really do. And I know that the people that listen to this podcast appreciate these type of issues, and they certainly appreciate them and get behind them when it's not just problem that they're presented with solutions. And I've seen that with hundreds of emails about the Captains for Clean Water thing. So this has been very enlightening, and I learned a lot about what's going on down there, far more than I knew before. I'm sure that a lot of the people that listen to this have too. Why don't you tell them how they could get involved, how they can follow your stuff, how they can keep abreast of this whole issue.
Right. Well, I mean, everybody can follow me. I do most of my communication on Facebook under my own name, Jeff Maggio. But if you, if you're into the podcast, I've done a half a dozen episodes in the Lunker Dog's Real Guy Show is the podcast. And, get involved with good people. Get involved with Captains for Clean Waters. Definitely couldn't hurt. And, more importantly is if you could just kind of spread the philosophy that we were talking about, it would be, like I said, another single to win the game.
Yeah.
So, Tom, thanks for letting me get on here and talk about this stuff, because
dude,
it's people
about
in your
it.
Audience are going to make the difference.
Well, it's all, we're all about it. And you know what? In the fishing community, and in the outdoor community, just like you say, or even whatever, whether it's what you said or what I said, about being the first and to understand it and to see it and to be the canary in the coal mine, or to be the staunch protector of the environment. That's what hunters and fishermen are, in my opinion. That's been proven. Hunters and fishermen have done more to advance conservation in this country than any other group. And you know, it's not just big national things. A lot of times it starts in the local level, and I like to hear about these things, and certainly when it's coming from somebody like you who's out there every single day and you're pointing out a problem, I'm going to listen. So I hope that I hope you make some real headway here. And as always, if there's any way that we can help you out here, or if I can help you out, let me know.
Well, you already did, Tom. You already did. So run that dog.
All right, buddy. Run that dog. All right.
All right. Thanks so much.
See you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was my friend, the Lunker Dog. Passionate guy. Big problem right in his front yard, backyard, too. So I learned a ton on that particular conversation. Jeff's a great guy. Go support him, follow him, and keep abreast of this situation in Fort Lauderdale. And as far as the metrics go, they show that more people in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, listen to this podcast than anywhere else. So make sure that you get out there and make a difference. Just like Jeff says, why don't you figure out who's running where, who's running on water, and make your vote count. Vote for the person who has your best interest, and we can make a difference everywhere. All right, as always, Waypoint TV, thank you for being our sponsor of this podcast. You can go to waypointtv.com. You can find all kinds of great outdoor content. Check out their Samsung Plus channel right now. This is a great time. It's got a great lineup of stuff, including Saltwater Experience, Into the Blue, Sweetwater. You got Buck Commander on there, a new show they've been putting on there. You got tons of other shows that you can watch absolutely for free. And that is on Samsung Plus TV. If you have one of those, man, check it out, and I think you'll like what you see. All right, until next week, we'll see you later.